Hey, what's up, everybody? This is the MMA Talk Show, and we're back this week with an exciting episode where we get to talk with the two guys who will be fighting in the main events of Samurai MMA, the two last fights, the two title fights. It's going to be Kyle Prapolic, it's going to be Maged Amo, and they're going to come to discuss these fights against Mikhail Dufour and Alex Morgan. So really exciting episode for you. But as always, we've got some news to touch upon. And the first news is concerning Samurai MMA because, man, there was just some huge fuckery by the Athletic Commission in Quebec, man. To be honest, I'm just like kind of getting through it. I'm not getting through it at all, but I'm just getting a little less angry. So basically what happened is that on Thursday, the promoter Daniel Lafont received a call from the commission in Quebec that told him that all the pro debuts on the card weren't going to receive their license to fight. So now they were asking themselves, why? How is that even possible? Why can't these guys make their pro debut on that card? And why do you tell us like 2 or 3 weeks before the event? Why didn't you tell us that like months before when we announced these fights? But basically, the commission has told them that the amateur fights in Quebec are not recognized anymore by them because they're doing them on the Indian reservation. They're not doing them under the Athletic Commission. But the problem is that in Quebec right now, no amateur combat is legal. So amateur MMA is illegal. So that's why they got to go on the Indian reservation to do that stuff. It's same thing for amateur kickboxing, amateur Muay Thai, amateur, everything that's not like federated, like let's say boxing. Boxing is okay because it's under the boxing committee, the Olympic boxing committee. So there's like a big federation for boxing that licenses the amateur fight. So boxing is okay, but Muay Thai, kickboxing, jiu-jitsu. When we do jiu-jitsu tournament, people from Quebec, they either go to Hawkesbury in Ontario, to Ottawa, or before the pandemic, we basically went to upstate New York. We were doing like fucking tournaments in Plattsburgh and Saratoga Springs in New York because we just can't do it in Quebec because it's not legal. So that's the problem with amateur fights. They're not legal, so the amateur promotions are going on the Indian reservations where it's not the same laws that work out there. And they do the amateur show, but the commission is not willing to accept the amateur records of fighter again. So if you had like 20 amateur fights in Quebec and you go to be licensed in Quebec, they're going to treat you like if you're 0-0 because they're not recognizing any of these fights. So the thing that they want to do is either for fighters to go fight somewhere else in other provinces, and then when they come back with a license from another province and a pro fight, they're going to license them. The other thing that they want to do is like set up a camp with, and that's, I feel like that's so stupid. That's one of the worst bullshit I've heard, but they want to set up camps where they go and they just watch the guys work, like, oh, do some shadow boxing for me. And if your shadow boxing is good enough, I'm going to let you be licensed for that fight. But of course, with the pandemic and all this shit happening, they don't have the resources right now to build this committee, to build the people that will go and evaluate the fighters so that they won't be able to license them in time for November 19. So, man, that's fucking bullshit. Basically, they're basically the most ignorant and worthless and incompetent people I have learned about in my life, man. They're, man, I can't even speak to you right now. I'm losing my words because I'm just thinking about it. I'm mad. I'm super fucking pissed off. This is such fucking stupid ass bullshit that guys like Tommy Morrison, who are double champs, double amateur champs, Yannis Azar, same fucking thing. Got Alan Giraud, who just got revoked his license or refused his license on the card. This fucking guy's got like 15 amateur fights, he's won belts in 2 or 3 promotions, he's fought across 2 or 3 weight classes. Same thing for Morrison, he did 125, he did 135, he won almost everything. Same thing for Yannis Azar, it's such fucking bullshit. Why don't you let these guys be licensed for their pro debuts? They are qualified fighters, they are. And to be quite honest, I don't want to like build some theory, let's say it like that, on things that I don't know about. Okay, it's not an informed thing that I'm doing, but when the Mexican boxer died in Quebec on my French podcast the Sunday after, I basically said that I was worried now because that event will create some changes within the commission because they just fucking let a girl with a losing record who got knocked out a month ago come to Montreal, get basically murdered. I don't want to say that because a poor girl who fought her, she never wanted to murder the Mexican girl, but she fucking died. That's what happened. And now the commission, they're trying to react to that event. But these fucking people, they don't know fighting. They it's crazy, man. In Quebec, the athletic commission is under what they call la régie des alcools, des courses et des jeux. So the commission for alcohols, races, and games, and by games, like lottery, basically. So they oversee all of that shit. And people that go work there, they're not people that go work for the athletic commission to sanction fights. Most of the people, they don't know fights. They never seen fights. They don't really like fights either. They think it's brutal. They think so. Basically, they're trying to react to the death of the boxer by not licensing pro debuts in MMA. And it's fucking stupid. It's fucking bad shit, insane, stupid, fucking crazy. Like I know most of you guys don't really speak French, but like earlier Thursday, I had a rant in French on my channel. And man, believe me when I tell you that, man, the rant is basically swear words and a couple of words between them. But like it's incredible, man. It's incredible. Oh, they are going to try everything for these events not to happen in Quebec. They hate MMA in Quebec. They don't want MMA in Quebec. And they don't know shit about MMA in Quebec. So they keep doing us wrong. They were always a really, really tough to deal with. Really, really stressful. And it was always difficult to deal with the commission. But now, man, it's gone to new heights. We've never seen that. And man, I just want to say one thing, though. Like, you know, in bad situations, there's always good that comes out of bad situations. And there was some good coming out of that situation. And that's why I want to give a big shout out to some people. First and foremost, my guy, Derek Clark from Fight League Atlantic, provided us with a lawyer for the commission, provided Samurai with a lawyer for the commission, provided him with help if needed. He's willing to bring the guys that are making their pro debut on his event, book them there so they can come back to Quebec with a pro fight and then be licensed. And like he will do that just out of the kindness of his heart to help us. The other man, Rob Vivers, matchmaker at BTC, who has all I've been in contact with, and I've put in contact with many people, like managers of the fighters that these fights just fell through, and the promoter Daniel and Manu too. And he's been doing great too, trying to. I know the card for the November 20th, the day just after, is kind of full, but he's doing his best, keeping the names of the guys in note in case that like someone falls through, a fight falls through, and they just need to go over there and basically be a late minute replacement. Or he'll really consider bringing the guys in Ontario for the BTC card. And that's the same thing for Tarpsa Fighting Championship, the Brawl by the Falls. I don't know if that's what it's called. The card on December 18 in the Niagara Falls. I've put them in contact with Daniel too. And like all these people just are willing to help out, are willing to accept the guys, to do something to help Samurai out. And man, there was like so much, like, let's say, beef or tension. And even Yann Pellerin, man, even fucking Yann Pellerin and the guys at Samurai, they're do that New Era, they're doing a lot to help Strania Gavrilovic win his court case against the commission, because that's a whole nother subject. But Strania was supposed to be on that card, but he's presently fighting against the commission in court to obtain his license, because after he failed his drug test and he had a disqualification for blows after the fight, they decided that they were not going to license him anymore in MMA. And that's quite unjust, in my opinion. So New Era and Yann Pellerin, they're looking at the court case for Strania Gavrilovic and helping him in that manner. So New Era, Samurai, Fight League Atlantic, BTC, Tarpsoff, everybody's working together. There's no beef. Everybody's trying to help each other out. And that's what we need in the MMA community. Good people that try to help each other out, that try to do everything for the promotions and other provinces to stay alive, to stay afloat, because we need promotions in every provinces. We need fight in every provinces. And that's by helping each other out, by sending guys for some fights and letting them come back after. That's how you do it. And Fight League Atlantic, BTC, and Tarpsoff, and the guys at New Era with Yann Pellerin, they've really done a lot to try to help Samurai MMA in this really unjust and absolutely batshit insane situation. So major props to all these guys. Like I said, it's cool to see some good come out of the bad, and the good are these people that are willing to help and willing to do their part and trying to save what can be saved from that event. So just fucking bullshit. Samurai is now down to 4 fights, but like they're really actively trying to find other people to book for the fights that have fell through. That I'll say it again, it's Tommy Morrison, Yanis Azar, Alan Girard, and Strania Gavrilovic. They're trying to find replacements. They're trying to find people to be in these fights so that they basically can go on with the event like if nothing happens. So we'll see what's next with that, man. I'm so bummed about that shit. They're really trying to do everything they can for it not to work. But we're going to make it work because everybody's working together and everybody's doing the most to try to save the event, basically. It was, man, hectic few days for me, for everybody. We're trying to put people in touch to do everything we can with our contacts for it to work, man, to make it work. And I think we might do it, man. So if it works out, we're going to be really proud of ourselves. But just a big shout out to everybody that's willing to help, willing to participate. It wouldn't be possible without you guys. So thanks a lot for that. Real good guys at the BTC, at Fight League Atlantic. My man, Derek, always like, I don't know how many times I'm going to say it. Derek Clark, one of the best guys there is. So Tarpsoft, two shouts to you guys. Yann Pellerin, New Era, all these people. Big shout out. Support for the MMA Talk Show is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels, and they just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, the 4.0. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. That's 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code MMATALK at manscaped.com. Just imagine shaving with a sleek, well-designed, and optimized trimmer that makes shaving time your favorite time in the bathroom. I'm one of the first people to try the new 4.0, and I'm blown away by the performance. The craftsmanship and details on the 4.0 are next level. We've all witnessed horror stories in the bathroom where blood, sweat, and tears were shed while trying to maintain decent enough grooming for your little homies down there. And as men, there's only one part of our body that we never want to see bleed, and that's our balls. It happened to me more than once, but not anymore, because with the help of Manscaped, I can now shave in peace and with the confidence that I will not shed blood while trying to keep my balls presentable. I can now be confident that whatever situations life puts me through, my balls will be well-groomed, in perfect shape, and ready to help me power through it all. Manscaped engineered the ultimate groin and body trimmer by focusing on intelligent functionality and an incredibly comfortable grooming experience. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. I now feel confident shaving my boys. This upgrade trimmer also includes a multifunction on and off switch that can engage a travel lock. It also gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. The Lawnmower 4.0 even allows you to customize your trim to additional guard lengths with sizes 1 through 4. Did I even mention the wireless charging? His new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help your battery last longer. Man, if you've been shaving with the same nut trimmer on your face, yeah, you've been doing it wrong. I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to judge you at all, but no person wants to end up with pubes in their mouth. It's time to get your own ball air and body trimmer with Manscaped to make me time the best time and enhance your confidence with some nice mood boys. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code MMATALK at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code MMATALK. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Your balls will thank you. So before we move on with the interviews, let's talk about some Canadian performances. 3 fighters in action again this week for 3 major promotions outside of the UFC. The first one was on the PFL Championship, the final, the big final. On the prelim, there was a PFL debut for Julia Budd, the former Bellator champion, one of the best 145ers in the world. She was there. And she was fighting Caitlin Young, really experienced fighter. And like basically the story of that fight is Julia Budd's grappling. There was some striking exchanges here or there. I feel like Budd probably had the better of the striking too, but really was her dominant takedowns and her dominant grappling that really made it a super dominant win for her, easy decision win. Like we've been used to Julia Budd, to be honest, if Kayla Harrison leaves PFL, you can probably sign the $1 million check to Julia Budd right now for next year. She's going to whip everybody in that weight class. And if Harrison stays, it's probably one of the only competitive fight for her. Like Julia Budd, Chris Cyborg, Amanda Nunes, that's the competitive fight for Kayla Harrison right now. So there's one in the PFL with Budd. There's Bellator, Chris Cyborg, and then the UFC with Nunes. And we know that Kayla is a free agent now, so we're going to see where she's going to end up. But like Julia Budd looking good for her PFL run next year, let me tell you, that was a good performance, really dominant, like we're used to, one of the best at 145 and now 155. So big shout outs to Julia Budd. And then there was Dustin Johnson at ONE Championship in a really, really tough matchup. They put him up against Kirill Grishenko, who was a 4-0 undefeated heavyweight, quite recent heavyweight prospect. But the guy had defeated Umar Kane, the rug guy who fought in Harris, the huge Senegalese wrestler. So really hyped up, high-level prospect that Dustin Johnson faced. And unfortunately for him, he did really good in the third round, but wasn't able to secure the two first round. The first round, Grishenko was able to land a takedown, mostly dominate the ground on the ground for that round. Second round was the crazy round. It was a really crazy round because Grishenko did not land any takedowns, but landed like two or three huge spinning back fists, an amazing spinning elbow, some huge elbows in the clinch, some big uppercuts. And like, to be honest, the fact that Dustin Johnson did not get finished by that just shows like he has one of the greatest chins in the division, and it's one of the toughest guy in the heavyweight division. And Grishenko put so much into these attacks that he absolutely gassed himself out, and the third round was all Dustin Johnson. You can really see him come out with the combinations on the feet, really be the fresher fighter, the guy who like absorbed all that damage but was still able to be there in the third round and to be the fresher fighter in the third round. So yes, it's a loss for Dustin Johnson, his first ever, but man, it's a good performance against one of the better prospects in the world. So I hope he's proud of himself, because it was one of the greatest fights we've seen this year. It was super exciting, and the comeback in the third round was really significant, and there's something you can really be proud of and build upon for his next fights. And finally, we had KB Buehler in UAE Warriors, and man, was fighting Tarek Suleiman, a guy from Syria, I believe, who is a black belt in jiu-jitsu, a really good heavyweight and light heavyweight grappler. They were fighting at 195, I believe. I may be wrong on that, but still, KB got taken down, got his back taken, and like it wasn't looking like it was going to go too well for KB. But then he was able to kind of turn it around and get back up and land a couple of good kicks, and then, whoa, another takedown, and he got his back taken again. And once again, he was able to rise up, but like as he rose up, basically his opponent was grounded, and as soon as his opponent just took his hands off the mat, he just pulled a Peter Yan basically on him. He kneed him straight in the face and even followed up his knee with some ground and pound. So unfortunately, Tarek Suleiman was not able to continue, and it was a clear and egregious foul by KB Buehler. So unfortunately for him, he got disqualified. That's what happened. He got disqualified in that fight. So it's a loss for him. His first outside of the UFC ever, basically. But man, like, yes, it's a loss. Yes, he was probably losing the fight up to that point, but you know, with the knees dead and stuff, it's a foul. It's 100% a foul. He shouldn't have done that. But we all know it's a contested rule, and we all know how people kind of judge these type of situations in the greater scheme of things. So, yes, he lost by disqualification, but like, the last visual we had in that fight was him in full mount punching the guy in his face. So let's just say like that. It's sad for KB that it ends up in a DQ, but man, need him pretty hard in the head. And what do you want me to say more than that? So that was the Canadian performances of the week. Let's go with the interviews, really good interviews with Kyle Prpelec and Maged Amo. What's up, everybody? We are here this week with the main event of the Next Samurai MMA card, a guy that we have not seen in a while and that we are really glad to have back. Kyle Prpelec, what's up, man?
How's it going, my man? Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Like I was saying, super happy to have you on. I know, man, it's getting closer to fight time. It's been a while since you've been in action, and I know time is not really available for you, man. Many things to do, all kinds of stuff. So I'm really happy you took the time to be with us for a moment, man.
Yeah. Oh, no, sorry about all the delay, but yeah, I appreciate being on here. Thank you.
Yeah, don't worry about that. It's normal, man. But how you feel, man? It's getting close. Comeback.
I'm excited. Yeah, it's comeback season. So I'm pumped. Like, I can't wait. Obviously, the fighting get a little nervous and all that. But, like, my excitement is just I'm just happy to be back. And, you know, I'm so excited to fight again, just showcase all the new skills and my skill set and just how I've evolved over the whole pandemic and lockdown, you know. So I'm excited. I can't wait.
Yeah, before we speak about the fight, I wanted to know, how do you reflect on your UFC run now that it's been like 2 years? I got some things I feel about it. I'm going to tell you after, but I wanted to know from your part, how do you reflect on that run?
How I would reflect on it? Honestly, it was a great experience, and I want to, obviously that's my goal, is to get back in there, and then I want to retire there at the top and with the elites of the world in that sport. And I've learned a lot just to, you know, be for better training, better things, what I should do as a fighter, where it's not like it is about like fighting and, you know, obviously beating someone from your skill set to someone else's, but at the high level, it's that inches game, especially when I fought Nordine, just like how calculated and how he was good at, I guess, playing his game better than I was at playing at my game, and how to stay focused in that. So I know what I must do to be, you know, at his level or higher. And, you know, I'm always trying to aim higher and be as best as possible. So it's fight harder, train harder, fight smart, fight easy, you know, like it's all going to come together in one beautiful piece of art. So
for sure, man, I feel like if there's one word for me to describe your UFC run, I'd say frustrating, because like first fight, short notice, up a weight class against a big, strong guy, Nordini. It's hard. He's really technical. Like you say, he's really composed in a fight. And it was a short notice fight. And I feel like you did good in that fight. You didn't win, but you did good. Then you fight Austin Hubbard. Another fight, man, that if you take the takedowns out, I don't know how that sounds while I say it, but it's a really good fight. You did some really good stuff in that fight. There were some moments that you could really say, oh, man, Kyle's about to win that fight. A takedown. But you're always able to fight, get up, and never quit in that fight. And after you get released, and I'm like, man, we've seen guys with some shit UFC performances, and they don't get cut. And Kyle comes here, short notice, kind of saves them in a bit, because they needed somebody for that Ottawa card, and you were that guy, you were short notice and stuff, so you yeah. Kind of did them a favor. And then in your fight after, you do super well against like a well-schooled lightweight guy that's still there, that's still winning fights, and yeah. Then you get released. So it's just really frustrating, because the fights, we've seen the glimpses and flashes that, oh, he's at his place. He's not like below that level. He's not getting washed. He's not, nothing like that's happening. So it's really the two fights that make us see all your potential and all that you can accomplish. And then it gets cut short after just such a, like, fight. Man, like I say, I feel like for me as a fan of Kyle Pribilek, it was frustrating because I knew you had so much more to show in the UFC, and that man, you could have easily won your fight after and went on a streak after, but you kind of got your chance cut short a little bit. So that was my assessment of your run.
There's a little underlying like issues there. That's why, like, obviously due to the, like what it said in my like paper when with the releasing. You know, it was due to, you know, the last result of the fight and due to, you know, basically health issues. Because the last fight I was in Rabdo, and we didn't know why, but the UFC did help by sending me to the States. And then, you know, I was getting help in Canada as well. And I actually got a muscle biopsy surgery to figure out why it was happening and how to prevent it. So I'm looking forward to having that not happen again. So we'll be good, and hopefully, you know, do what I do best and, you know, get that win, get looked at again, and, you know, hopefully get called, or even take that same route I did last time, take something short notice, and get ready to give her again. So I'll always be ready.
Yeah, for sure. And these issues, like you've been saying, it kind of, put a balm on it a little bit, because it's like, oh, yeah, they had these issues, so they prefer to let me go. But it's like, if you didn't have these issues, maybe they would have kept you, so that can give like a brighter light for the future, that if I do good in a fight or two, they'll look at me again and say, oh yeah, the guy, he's as good as we thought he was, and just bring you back.
Yeah, that's kind of what like my goal is, and like what I'm hoping that they see, you know, that way I'm not like a liability, because, you know, you don't want to be having underlying issues, and then all of a sudden you go into a fight, and then all of a sudden you can never fight or do anything again because of you basically not taking care of yourself. So, you know, health is always first, and that's basically what I think is their rule, and also like my rule too. Like, if I'm not healthy, then, you know, I shouldn't fight. But now that I'm healthy, everything's, you know, figured out. We can prevent it, make everything be good again. Like, it's only a matter of time till I can hopefully, you know, get back to those big leagues and really showcase why I belong and be in the, you know, the proper environment, you know. So that's the goal, get back to the UFC.
For sure. So what do you think about this fight, Mikhail Dufour? I just spoke to him minutes ago. He was on my friend's show, and he told me, I don't really get why he's not in the UFC anymore, but I'm super happy to fight a UFC vet. So I was wondering, on your part, how do you feel about this matchup?
Honestly, I think it's great, because it's going to show, you know, after, I know he just fought recently, and, you know, kudos to him for getting that win in the, I forgot the league, but
CFFC in Tampa, I believe.
Yeah, and he got, you know, he got that quick guillotine, and hey man, you leave your neck out there, he's gonna take it. So anyone will, right? Like, he's obviously at a high level, and, you know, he's got a good record. He's got good personality. He's got good fights. You know, like even watching him in TKO against my buddy Ronson. So it's like, you know, he's tough. He's durable. You know, he's gonna come out, do what he wants to do, and I got to go out and do what I want to do, and, you know, showcase my skills, and, you know, basically show like there's levels to this, and that I'm at this level, and, you know, he's got to beat me to show, you know, he belongs there too, but I also got to beat him to show I belong back where I belong too. So it's gonna be a fun, hard fight, and I'm excited because of how good he is. You know, he's good, he's tough, I believe he's at that level. It's just, we just got to showcase who's going to win, right?
Yeah, for sure. In my opinion, best fight in Canada this year. I know that there's that unified fight, like they're trying to compete with that Graham Park and Marius Chaskevich fight. That's pretty good. But, man, lightweights, in Canada, it's always lightweights, featherweights, bantamweights. That's our best divisions. And, man, you got two of the best lightweights in the country who haven't fought each other, because there's other good lightweights like Scott Hudson, but you fought Scott Hudson already. And so two of the best that haven't fought together. And like you said, you're a UFC vet, so that's cool for him. But for you, he's the young guy coming up right now in that division that's racking up wins, having good records, going to the States and coming up with wins and all that. So he's a guy to look for right now. So like you've been saying, it's the perfect fight for you, because if you go there and you win, you're right back in the conversation as the top guy in the country.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, it's as much as it is exciting for him, it's just as exciting for me, because it's like, you know, he's obviously high level. He's gonna be fighting me, right? So it's like, and I gotta fight this guy who's, you know, coming off a nice win, good record, young, athletic. You know, he's good. So yeah, I like fighting good opponents that, you know, give a little challenge, and it's just, it brings the best out of me, and, you know, I hope to bring the best out of him, and we can make it entertaining. And obviously, I want to get that dub. So I'm going to do whatever it takes, whether it's, you know, go to the ground, submit, ground and pound, you know, outbox, kickbox, do whatever. And he's going to do the same thing. So, and that's fine by me. I encourage, you know, the violence to come out, and let's be entertaining. Let's showcase why we belong at the top and why we're the most entertaining.
Yeah, for sure. And how's the training been? I know it's tough out here in Ontario too. They're kind of doing everything for us not to train, but I wanted to know how's the training been?
Oh, the training's like the first part of the lockdown when everything first started, it was tough because it's like, man, everybody's on the lookout, like making sure people are following the rules. You know, we all got to be, you know, either going to each other's houses or training in garages or secretly meeting up to go train somewhere or train outside. Like, but now that it's like slowly getting back to where we were before all this lockdown and pandemic, training's been excellent. Like over the past almost, well, I guess like 18 months or almost 2 years, I went back to, you know, the basics of like where I started with like wrestling and grappling, and then, you know, making my level more elite at those areas, because I'll strike with anybody. I can hang with my own. Like if I can hang with Nordine in striking, I can hang with anybody, you know, and especially with only like a week notice. So with a whole fight camp, I wonder how that fight would go again. You know, he was just that high level, and I found it fun. Like he was definitely a good matchup there. He's real smart. But now like kind of losing my thought here.
Don't worry.
The way like training is going now, just like how everything we're doing things and just managing everything for specific things, or just doing like cage work, wrestling, pad work, you know, just constant drills, situational things, you know, the technical sparring, the drills, the, you know, and the strength conditioning, just putting everything together in this nice little, like all the ingredients into this little formula to become, you know, that top elite athlete, that fighter. And that's what I want to bring out in this fight.
Are you still in Windsor at MTC?
Yeah, I'm still in Windsor, and I'm still at MTC. I'm cross training at a lot of gyms right now. Like MTC is my home, but you know, I've been cross training at Tecumseh Jiu-Jitsu, at Hybrid, Border City Boxing. Like I've been going like literally everywhere. And then, you know, I have 4 weeks. I plan to go cross train at some other gyms in Ontario, you know, maybe go to London, go to the Adrenaline, or, you know, even go to some other gyms in Toronto or like Mississauga, wherever locally, right? Like just to work with these high elite guys that have been there as well. So it's just crunch time in these last few weeks, and then do the hard part and then have fun after.
For sure, man. So November 19th, everything goes according to plan. How does it end?
With my hand raised, man. Always. You always have that vision. Believe and achieve, and, you know, fight with everything in your heart and everything in your mind, and foresee things to come, right?
For sure, man. It's going to be an amazing night, man. Really, we're really starting out here to feel the buzz now that, because, man, I got to tell you, it was, even when they said November 19, I was like, okay, let's see, man, because each and every week there's a new thing. Oh, now you can do this, but not this anymore. Or, oh, you need to go there, but have this to go. So, really complicated, but now, man, we've got tickets on sale. We've got an arena. We've got a date. We've got people buying tickets. We've got people are so hyped. I spoke with the promoter. He's been telling me that some guys, they're coming back for more tickets, and he's not even sure he's going to be able to give more tickets to every guy on the card if they need to, since like tickets have been selling out really, really fast. And it's a cool place where they're doing the event. I just watched there was a boxing card there on, was it Friday, Thursday or Friday? I don't know. But it was Oscar Rivas. It was a big card presented on ESPN and stuff. It was, I think, Groupe Yvon Michel. And I was looking at their setup, and it's pretty cool. It's like a smaller theater. So I think on stage, they're putting like VIP tables. Okay. The cage is going to be just below the stage. There's going to be lots of floor seats and a full balcony. And man, it seemed that the boxing event, it run pretty smoothly, like the place for the entrances and the rooms back there to train and warm up. It seemed like worked out pretty well. So I'm pretty pumped about the venue, to be honest. I think it's going to be good. It's not going to be too much people, like 800 to 1,000, I believe. But man, people are so hyped. And like, I can't wait, because I've been to the BTC card too in Burlington recently. And like, man, it was fucking crazy. Like, people were going nuts just to see some fights. Like, most of the fights, they were pro debuts and stuff, but people were going absolutely crazy. A guy just fucking jumped into the crowd like he was Jose Aldo after his fight, and people were going nuts. So I feel like we're going to have hella energy in that place, man, on November 19. It's going to be a great, great night.
Yeah, I can't wait. Like, even you talking about it, I'm like, man, this is going to be so cool. Like, just to be back and fighting, and just, like, the crowd and just the everything being that much closer to normal, and just everyone can be living again and enjoying their lives.
Yeah, for sure, man. And another thing that is going to be pretty cool, I know it's not the same promotion, it's not the same people that are running it. TKO is not anymore, basically. But yeah, in the later stages of TKO, especially in these weight class, we had that kind of, let's not say rivalry, because nobody wants to kill each other. Like, you, Big Fall respects you, you respect them, but there was that kind of rivalry between like the adrenaline guys, the Ontario guys, and the Quebec guys. Or there were like Malcolm Gordon got a belt, Jesse Gordon got Jesse Ronson. Sorry, Jesse, yeah. Why do I fuck you up like that? One of my favorite fighters ever, Jesse Ronson. But like all these guys, TJ and Tony were wrecking shit out here. So it's kind of, it's the new era of MMA, but still in the main event are good old best in Quebec, best in Ontario for the belt. Let's just fight it out and see who comes out on top, man. It's yeah, perfect. It's awesome. Just perfect.
Yes, sir.
How do you feel about being the bad guy, though? Like, people, they're not going to be rooting for you out here, man.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Like, even when I would go fight in the States, like, they, you know, or even like if I'm fighting a hometown guy, like, you know, at first, you know, they may boo, but, you know, the way how I am as a fighter and how I entertain, like, you may boo me at the start, but you'll cheer me on after, because of like, I'm going to bring you joy and fulfillment, because I want to be that entertaining fighter. Like, you know, I want to be like that Dustin Poirier, that Wanderlei Silva, like that violence, that volume, that whole charismatic and that aura of just being that dominant athlete, that fighter, you know, be that savage, you know, bring the violence, bring what the fans want to see, you know, even if it gets to the ground, be a Khabib and just smash everybody.
Yeah, for sure. And like, people, they're going to say what they want to say, but man, right now, when I'm posting about Jesse Ronson on my page, or I'm posting about Malcolm or DJ, or everybody's looking out, even people from Quebec, because they saw them fight and they like them now, they respect them now. And since everybody's moved on from the small Quebec Ontario fights, we're just rooting for everybody, because we're all Canadians, and Ronson may have come and beat our guys, but now he's in the UFC and everybody wants him to win, you know? So it's going to be the same thing for you, man.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? Like, if once it's like hometown guy versus like an outside guy, it's you know, it's, you're always going to root for your hometown guy or cheer for your teammate or whatever. But once you make it to like the top, everybody, like from the whole country, is like, you know, we're on your back. We got you. And it's that's what's so great about Canada. You know, we at least every Canadian athlete, and they're just pushing for us, and they just want us to, they want us to succeed. They want us to be like the Hominicks, the Stouts, the GSPs, the Patrick Cotes, you know, like all those savages.
Yep. And it's cool too, because there has been lots of Canadians on the Contender Series, and man, it seems like it's just an excuse to sign you now. Like, oh yeah, Mike Mullott, I had a good fight, finished the guy, and he's Canadian, come over here. And like Jasmine, same thing for her. So she's Canadian, we're going to sign her. Everybody, so man, like, fuck, just win and get to the contenders and then just be in Canadian and winning a fight. I feel it's enough, because Dana knows, man, he just needs that one guy. Like that one Canadian guy that's like GSP, and he's going to be able to fill arenas in Montreal, Toronto, Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver, all over the place with all these Canadian fighters. So like he knows and he wants it, and who doesn't want it? So really exciting times. I'm going to let you go, man. Really happy to have the chance to speak to you today. But I'm going to leave you with the final word before we leave. Anything you want to say, shout some people out, anything. The floor is yours, man.
Thank you. First, like obviously all the sponsors, you know, I don't have the full list with me yet. But you know, for future sponsors, thank you so much. All my teammates, coaches, everybody who's with me day in and day out. Obviously my girlfriend who, you know, that I live with, just helping me. And
who puts up with this shit, man, of seeing her guy go in and fight. And that must be tough, man. These girls are riders, man.
Yeah, you know, it's it must be love, right? Like for them to deal with that, that's not easy. That's a lot of stress and anxiety right there. And dealing with the guys who got to wait or cut weight, oof, that's the worst time. We're just moody. But yeah, all the gyms, like I mentioned earlier, Border City Boxing, Hybrid, my main home, MTC, Tecumseh Jiu-Jitsu, you know, and all, like I said, all the people that are helping me, there's so many that I could list and just name, but I can't be here forever, but I'll make once this like post is up, I'll name all you and add everybody. So, yeah, thank you to everybody. And obviously thank you to Samurai MMA for, reaching out to me and having me on your card. I can't wait to perform and entertain as best as possible and, show you what a true elite is.
For sure. Thank you, Kyle Prepelec, one of the best, if not the best lightweight in Canada. Been looking forward to seeing you back in the cage. And it's going to be here in Montreal, my home. I'm going to be there in cage side. So I'm so happy about that. Thanks a lot, my man. And thanks everybody for watching, man. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank you. See ya.
Hey, what's up, everybody? The internet has been trying to stop us, but there is nothing stopping us. We've got Maged Amu in this bitch. Oh, this way. There he is. Let's go. Maged, what's up?
Not much. Yourself?
Oh, I'm good, man. Like I said, really complicated. Usually StreamYard works like so well. It's super easy. People connect and they're there, and it wasn't working. Then nothing was working tonight, but I got you here. I'm so happy to have you here. How's life, my man?
And my life's good. Just been training, you know, living life with the kids and stuff. So it's been good.
Yeah, for sure. I wanted to talk to you because we just had the news lately that you are going to be involved in another major fight. Like what a comeback year for you. You've been involved in already a fight that we're going to talk about in a few moments. But now a second huge high-level fight, high-profile fight against one of the best 45ers in Canada. I just want to know, man. It's coming in a month. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I actually asked for this fight. There was a couple other fights that were offered to me, and they were, you know, not as hard fights, and I wanted to challenge myself, which I usually do in every fight. And the opportunity came with Alex Morgan. I know he's a tough opponent, and he's beating some tough guys, so I thought, why not?
Yeah, for sure. So I just wanted to know what happened with you, man, because you were fighting and then you were not fighting, and then there was a unified event and Lucas Neufeld was supposed to fight Neil Anderson, and then he wasn't fighting him, and then we hear Maged Amu, he's fighting him, and I was like, oh shit, that's true, this guy is pretty good, man. I can't believe he's coming back. And then you come back and you have the performance that we're going to talk about in a few moments. But I just wanted to know, like, were you not fighting anymore, or wasn't just things working out? What was that long pause that you took?
Actually, I got knee surgery. So I had a major knee surgery for a couple of years there, and I'm trying to recover properly and stuff like that. So I took the time off that I needed. Now I'm back to fully recovered, and I was training at the time anyways, and then I was told that Lucas couldn't fight. So I stepped up and took the fight, and it was good.
Yeah, man, like 3 years off, short notice, but like short-ish notice, let's say. You knew a couple of weeks. How many times
did
you
know? It was about 4 weeks. It was
4 weeks.
It was
So short-ish notice, let's say it. But still, Neil Anderson coming from 155, one of the better fighters in Canada.
His name has been made.
Is the guy, he's saying, oh, he beats this Amo guy. He's going to the UFC probably. And you just come in and one of the better fights of the year and you spoil it. Just let me know how you feel about this performance after all that time, that surgery, that injury, just coming back and having that fight.
Actually, mentally I felt great. I felt like myself in there. I felt like I was having fun and enjoying the process, you know. But conditioning, you can tell I was pretty tired. I was pretty gassed right off the bat, and it was because I wasn't really doing much cardio stuff, and I was because of my knee, so I wasn't able to run or do any of the stuff that I normally do for my cardio. So it was one of those processes where I have to change now for this next fight, because I know coming into Alex Morgan, it'll be, I need all the cardio I can get, because this guy's a tough opponent. And no, it was good. I'm glad it turned out the way it did. Mentally, I was there. Mentally, I'm there again. And I feel like the fire is lit up again, you know, and I'm back at her.
Yeah. And I think that, like, what we really learned from that fight is that, like, each round, each minute of the fight, you're going to be in there, you're going to fight, even though, like, there were some rounds that just didn't go your way in that fight at all. There are some rounds that you did way better in that fight, but still, late in the fight, you were still there, you were still fighting. Some people may say that, he wasn't winning that fight, but you wasn't winning until you won, because each second, moment of the fight, you were in there and you were fighting and you were being like an amazing opponent for the guy. And in the end, I think it was just too much for him.
I think you're right. It was too much for him. I think I didn't want to quit. There was no quitting me. There was a lot of riding on that fight for me. I had lots of family back home watching. And I just didn't want to disappoint, and I gave it everything I had. I just didn't want to give up.
Nah, for sure. And Quebec, Alberta, it's pretty far. So sometimes we just like don't get the news and around here, and we don't really know the fighters too well. So when that fight was announced, a lot of people were asking me like, who's that guy? Is he good? Is he? And asking lots of questions. And the only thing that I answered them is that since 2014, the only guy that beat you is Jesse Arnett. So you can make your calculations from there. We've seen Jesse Arnett in Quebec, in TKO, having like the most high-level fights in Canada. So I was like, make your calculations from there. If the only guy that can beat him is Jesse Arnett, like in the recent years, must mean the guy's pretty good.
Yeah, and the Jesse Arnett fight, I wasn't there mentally. I wasn't prepared physically, you know, nothing. I just kind of took that fight on a week's notice just for the money, really. And if I can go back, I'd get a rematch with him for sure. I would love to get some revenge, you know?
Yeah, no, that's for sure.
But, you know, other opportunities are arising, and I'll take what I can get.
Yeah, no, like you said, after the unified fight, you win the belt, you're the unified champion. Now people are looking at you as like a Canadian champion, like, let's say, Unified, BFL, that's the big promotions right now. They're the ones that have been running for the longest, the biggest fights. And now you've got people out east like Samurai that are trying to come up and organize big fights too. But in the last few years, like becoming the unified champ, becoming the BFL champ, that means a lot to your standing in the country. And now people are starting to look at you as one of the best featherweights in the country. And now you just have the chance to fight the number one guy in your next fight. So I guess that feels pretty good, right?
It feels really good, actually. Yeah. He's the next guy that I think that will push me to where I want to be. I think this is the fight that's going to, kind of make it for me kind of thing, you know. And I'm getting older. I don't have that much time left. So I want to try and take what I can get for now. And see where it takes me. And just train hard for this and put on a good show. I always try to put on a good show. I always try and finish the fights, you know. Never leave it to the judges, because you never know what's going to happen. So you always try and finish the fight, and I'm coming into this fight, I'm going to try and finish it early in the rounds.
For sure, man. And when you look at recently, guys like Chad Anneliger has been to the Contender Series, maybe like not the guy with the best record because he started his career like quite slowly, let's say it that way. But then just had the chance to go on the Contender Series, and you could just see the experience in that guy. It wasn't a tough fight because every fight's tough over there. If you win, you basically make it. So it wasn't a tough fight, but you just could see the experience, all the fight
very that he had before. It was very intelligent, yes.
Yeah, all the losses too, I feel like. This guy has become such a good grappler since all his submission losses. That you could see, if you come in, you beat Alex Morgan, the guy's been at the top of the division for years in Canada, you become the double champion in two of the biggest promotions, how can they not look at you?
And that's exactly my goal, exactly.
For sure, man. It's what you want to do. And I wanted to know about the training, man. How is it going? Back here, just resume, man, to be quite honest. We're starting to feel like we can train and do stuff. I wanted to know back in Alberta, how was it for you?
Alberta's good, man. Our training facilities are pretty much the same. We're training at full capacity right now. We're going pretty good. We're following the rules and everything now, so it's good. And we got lots of training partners coming in these days, and everyone's kind of slowly going back to normal kind of thing. So fingers crossed it continues this way, and things start to open up again. I miss the old times, you know?
Yeah, for sure, man. That's for sure, man, because even us, like, we're restarting, but like, it's not, and there's the vaccine stuff that I just don't want to get into, but like, it affects us because there's some people that can't basically come back to the gym because of that shit. So
no,
it's not the same like atmosphere in the gym. It's not, because we've lost some people, and we've lost with some white belts, some blue belts, or we lost some purple belts too. We've lost some like some good guys that, man, I want to roll with them. It's been a long time, but we just like can't right now, and it sucks. But it's a good feeling too, to just feel like more and more it's getting back to normal, and everybody, and there's just people that got super fat during COVID too, and they just don't want to train anymore, man.
That's what to do, right?
Yeah, so we're kind of getting these people back slowly in the gym, and but I feel like this show, Samurai, that's really going to help for us out here. Because
I think so too. I hope it stays open, and I hope the show goes on and we can perform and, you know, come there and do what we got to do.
Yeah, for sure. Because now you see other fighters, other people that like they're not quite resuming training, but now they see, oh, there's a show. There's actually people know that are going to be fighting, and now I want to fight too. So it motivates people to get back to it, I feel.
A lot of shows are getting canceled at the same time, though. So it's one of those things still where you still got to be cautious, right?
Yeah, for sure. But man, I feel better than ever now, man. We've got tickets on sale. We've got a date. We've got an arena.
Amazing.
We've got, like, it's super fucking set now. Like, and I speak often with Daniel, who's the main guy, the promoter.
Yeah.
There's not many tickets left, man. Like, really not many tickets left. It's going to be. And they just recently allowed us to be full capacity in you see Bell Center in Montreal, the Canadians, they can play under full capacity. So it's going to be the same thing for us. So it's not the way that the room's going to be set up. I feel like 1,000 people max can get into the place, but everybody's going to be there. Like,
that's amazing.
Fighters around here, they've been selling like 100 tickets each. So there's going to be atmosphere in the crowd for sure, man.
Good. At least there'll be lots of people watching. Everywhere in the world, people are going to be watching.
Yeah, for sure. How do you feel about coming in and being like the bad guy, the guy that, like, Alex Morgan's really popular out here. He's going to sell hella tickets. Oh, you're going to have his crowd. Going to have his crowd, like, not being too happy about you, especially if you do well. So how you feel about that?
Well, just like I was out in Edmonton, I wasn't the favorite guy there either. Everyone was booing me as I was coming in, and I felt like I was like, this is my home. This is where my home, same thing. Everyone's booing the other guy. So this is the same feeling. But then after the fight, everybody turns around and cheers for me because they know, you know. So I'm probably going to do the same thing over there.
Yeah, no, of course, because like when you go to a local MMA show, usually you know fucking MMA.
Exactly.
No casuals are going to be in there that night. So if you come in, have a good performance, people, they're going to appreciate that. They're going to respect that. And they, man, we just want to see fights and exciting stuff, man. It's been so long.
Oh, exactly, man. And that's every show too. Every show, if you put on a good fight, you'll win the crowd no matter what.
Yeah, no, for sure, man. People, we like MMA and like we like our Canadian fighters. Maybe you're from Alberta and you're coming in to fight like the Quebec guy. But if you win and you move on, people are fucking gonna root for you. We need more people to root for in that sport. Like at the moment, we've got a couple Canadians that's starting to bubble in the UFC. We've had guys that have been there for 2 or 3 years already, but I feel like really now it's the next crop of Canadian that are starting to get more attention, and like people are excited because we need people to root for. We need people to.
Well, no, to watch. We do. That's exactly it.
Yeah, because like to be honest, if you look at the two last weeks, the only reason I watched was because of Lupi Godinez. I don't give a fuck basically about any of these fights that they were putting on in the last few weeks. Like they were trash cards, like trash.
Yeah, there's been some shitty ones, right?
Yeah, but we had a Canadian girl that we know that we love, so we watched, man.
We have to. That's right.
Yeah. Where do you train?
At the Canadian Martial Arts Center in Lethbridge, Alberta.
Okay. That's a good gym. Speak about your gym, your partners, your coach, all that. Really good gym, man.
Oh, it's an amazing gym. There's no place other I want to be. I'm always there. I've been there for over 10 years now. I can't speak for a better place to train at. All the guys there are helping me, the coaches, everybody. Like, it's an amazing environment. Just the people itself, not just even the people that train, just the people that come in and out and stuff like that. You know, everybody's just so supportive, you know? It's awesome. Feels like a family there. It's a second home is what it is. It's amazing.
Yeah, for sure. And like, to be honest, I see so much of Lee Main and people from that gym. Like, man, this guy is the only fucking guy in Canada that's going to fight the same guy 2 times in a year. He just doesn't give a shit. Like, I'm going to fight that guy. He's amazing.
I didn't make a week's notice.
Yeah, he beat me the first time. I don't give a shit. I'm a fighter. I'm going to go out there and fight. And you see that in fighters from the gym. Like, you taking, like, a shortish notice fight against fucking Neil Anderson. Or just people, like, walking in the week off and, oh, man, we're all out there. We've got a crew. Here's another guy from CMAC. You've got a fight falling through. Give it to him. He's going to take it. It's just like,
of course, that's what we do. We fight.
Yeah, you can see the mentality of a Lee Main into all of you guys. You're just like crazy coming in ready to fight and fighting every second of the fight.
That's what we do.
Yeah, for sure, man. Big shout out to Lee Main, and fucking pioneer and legend. What a guy.
Hell yeah, he is. He's the man.
Cool, man. So it was really fun. I'm going to let you go. But before, I'm going to leave you with the final word. Anything you want to say, anything I forgot to talk about, any people you want to shout out, the floor is yours, my man.
Oh, I just want to say thank you to everybody that's been helping me train and everybody that's supporting me. Lethbridge and area everywhere, especially my coach Lee Meehan, Neil Barry, all those guys that are helping me, Jordan Meehan. I just want a huge thank you to all of them and my family and to Samurai for letting me give me this opportunity, and to Alex Morgan, you know, for taking this fight and letting us put on a show, and let's do this. I'm ready to go.
Fuck yeah, my man. Like I've been saying in a couple of weeks, there was no lineup to fight Alex Morgan. It was tough. We didn't even think we're going to have Alex Morgan on the card. And then there's like the unified champion that comes out of the woodwork. And he's like, we're going to have a champion versus champion fight.
I want the toughest fights. And that's what I go for, is the toughest ones. Not the easy ones, but the toughest ones. It's the only way you move forward.
Let's go. I'm so happy to hear that. That's going to be an amazing fight. Do not miss it. If you're elsewhere in Canada, Fight Network, Fight TV is going to be like, you can't miss this event. It's going to be on TV. It's going to be on your tablet, on your internet. If you
it'll be everywhere. TV,
it's going to be everywhere. So don't miss it. Magad Amu is going to be the co-main event. This guy's crazy. He's always amazing when he fights. You're not going to want to miss that, man. So thanks a lot, my man. I'm really happy to
no worries. Have a good evening, you. My friend.
Of course, and I'll see you there, man.
All right, we'll see you then.
Thank you, man.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.